Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
4:10 to go. That's Russell. The three. Scott, no. Couture bats it around. 2 seconds to go. The outlet to Mutz, and the Hokies take down the Maryland Terrapins coming from behind, 62-58.
Fire him now! You got to get rid of him. Sheehan, are you going to finally admit it? Are you going to finally admit that your boy is just completely out of his league? Maryland lost last night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, 62-58 to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech picked to finish, I think, fourth or fifth in the ACC this year. Pretty good team. They had lost two games, close games to ninth-ranked Memphis and 25th-ranked Xavier coming into the game. And Maryland had a seven-point lead in the second half and blew that lead and lost 62-58. Maryland's now 5-3. They've lost to George Mason, Louisville, and Virginia Tech. And it doesn't get much easier. They play Northwestern on Sunday in their Big Ten opener. Northwestern is off to a surprising 5-2 start with a decent win over Georgia, who last night nearly pulled off an upset of Memphis. I didn't know how that game ended. I saw that it was tied last night. Anyway, so the net of it is, you know, you can look at it and say, well, Virginia Tech went 9 of 20 from behind the arc, and Maryland went 1 of 13, and there's your story. And yeah, that's a big part of the story. You know, Maryland had a 7-point lead. They had a chance at 59-58. Somehow this guy Mutz for Virginia Tech lost the ball driving to the rim. The ball went up in the air. It got knocked up into the air by a Maryland player and went into the basket. They took a 3-point lead. Maryland ran a play that got Hakeem Hart a wide open three, and he missed it. I didn't like that possession at all, even though it was a good set and a good opportunity for a guy that's actually knocked down a bunch of threes for them so far this year. I would have gone for the quick two, easy in hindsight. Was talking about it before there were 17 seconds left, and then play the foul game and see if you can get a possession, because Maryland was 1-for-12 going into that. So to rely on a three at that point to tie with 17 seconds left seemed like a bit of a long shot. Would have been better to get a two, etc. Look, if you watch the game last night and you're a Maryland guy, this is for you. I know a lot of you don't care. Last night, I thought Virginia Tech executed beautifully on offense, and Maryland did not, period. You know, Maryland was 1 of 13, and they were 9 of 20. Part of that was because Virginia Tech executed really well offensively. They had great sets to get shooters wide open shots at a key portion of the game as well. Maryland's lead was 7 with about 10.5 to go at 43-36. And that's when Virginia Tech really started to execute offensively. Part of that was Maryland's defense, but much more of it was Virginia Tech's coach and staff designed great stuff to get their best shooters open looks, and Maryland could not do the same thing on the other end. The 1 of 13 is a bad number, but none of the 12 missed threes were like wide open threes where feet set behind the arc off of a good set or off of good penetration. They were all, most of them were contested. You know, they missed a bunch of threes in another game. Maybe it was the Mason game. I forget which game, where they had a lot of open shots. Last night, they didn't get much on offense at all that was easy. First of all, Eric Ayala is supposedly their best offensive player. He had 2 points on 1 of 9 shooting. They stayed in front of him. They hedged off on him. They helped off on him. And Maryland didn't have anybody else that stepped up. Eric Ayala is used to playing with guys like Aaron Wiggins last year. And the year before that, Sticks, Wiggins, and Cowan. And so it made it a lot easier. Now he's much more the focus of the opponent's defense. And that leads me to this. Maryland doesn't have much offensive talent. That's on Turge. They're not that good offensively, in part because they don't have real good offensive players right now. They don't have guys, a lot of guys, if any, that can truly create their own offense. Fats Russell is a dynamic player in transition. You got to get stops and you got to get rebounds to be able to run. Maryland rebounded better last night after being completely dominated on the glass by Louisville in the Bahamas on Saturday morning. They rebounded better, but they didn't really turn Virginia Tech over with their defense. Maryland turned it over 15 times in the game. Tech turned it over, I think it was just 7. So to get Fats Russell into the kind of game where he's going to be a major factor, because he's not nearly the factor that I thought he was going to be early on in the half court. You know, Cowan, I think, was better in transition, but Cowan was also a very good half court player and was a real good scoring point guard, and also because of that, created opportunities for everybody else. Fats Russell's not a very good shooter at this point. Haven't seen any indication that he's going to be a good shooter, so you don't have to get up on him, which makes it harder for him to go by people. And last night, I didn't think Maryland ran good stuff offensively. Now, I think a coach will tell you, you know, it's easier to run good stuff offensively when you've got good offensive players. And that's true. And right now, Maryland's only option offensively is through the post with Kudus Wahab, the transfer from Georgetown, who had 18 points last night on 7 of 8 from the floor, and by the way, is a very good free throw shooter. Here's the problem with that, is he got in foul trouble last night, ended up playing 25 minutes, should have played 35 minutes in the game. And because he was in foul trouble, he was on the bench. He's also a bit of a liability defensively, especially with the way that Turge wants to play defense. And maybe they have to think about more zone when he's in the game. He is a liability defensively. He's also a player that last night Virginia Tech decided not to double. And without a double team, he was very effective. Other teams have doubled him, and he has not proven to me anyway that he's a good enough passer as a big guy to run exclusively your offense inside out through the post. I like a lot of what he is. I think he's got really good touch. I think he's got a couple of good moves. I think he's got decent feet, decent hands. He's a very good free throw shooter with a really good stroke for a big guy. If he gets doubled, I don't know that he's a good enough passer. And if he's not doubled, then he's going to have to be a better defender and stay out of foul trouble so he's on the floor more. They didn't play well last night. They didn't coach it well last night. Virginia Tech played well last night and coached it well last night. That's what you'll get from me on last night's game. Virginia Tech really executed in the half court offensively. And Maryland did not. And when they did, it was really primarily through Wahab in the post. I don't have a problem with that. I'd keep, in a game like last night, I'd keep feeding them. It's the best look you're going to get because Ayala couldn't create, Fats couldn't create, Hart couldn't create. Dante Scott's got to stop dribbling the air out of the ball. And by the way, has to take more shots also. He's passing on open threes early in the shot clock. I don't know if they'll get a better look. Russell's going to have to be a better shooter for this team, or they're going to be limited offensively. Because if you don't have to guard him out on the perimeter and you can wait, then it's going to be hard for him to break down a defense, which makes it easier for everybody else. Their best hope right now is to play excellent defense, rebound, and get some stuff that's a lot easier than the stuff they got last night. They had to work for everything, and it wasn't pretty. Lastly, the kid Martinez, the transfer from Utah, is not a point guard. He's not a backup point guard. And I think Turgeon knows that. I don't know that he's got other options, which is why we've seen him in that spot. But you can't pull Ayala and Fats out of the game or have him in the game where he's a ball handler. He's not good enough to be a point guard. He's not a good enough passer. He's definitely not a good enough ball handler. What does he do well? Well, I can see what the coaching staff, I think, likes in him. He's athletic. He's rangy defensively. And we have seen him knock down a couple of threes. So maybe he can shoot it. He's got to play off the ball. One more thing, too. Julian Reese, their freshman from Baltimore, I think has a chance to be a really good player. I do. He's got to put on some weight. He's got to get stronger because at the rim, he's just having a difficult time finishing consistently. Brendan, there was that big possession at the end where he had an easy layup off of a crazy shot and a bad shot by Ayala, but no one was near him. He had the offensive rebound. He didn't even catch rim with it. I don't know why he didn't just go up and flush it. But that was a big, big spot. He missed a wide-open layup. And on the other end, the kid Mutz lost control of the ball on the drive, and somehow the ball went in through the went into the basket. One of the things that I would just remind all Maryland people out there, especially those of you who really are tired of the Turgeon era after 11 years, and as I've said many times before, I think he's a good coach. I'm not backing off that. You'll never get me to back off it because I know he's a good coach, and other coaches will tell you he's a good coach. Now, are there better coaches? Of course. Are there coaches that might be able to bring in a higher level player consistently? Maybe. I don't know. The one thing that I would say right now is that this team is, at this point, I don't know where it's going to come from. And if he turns this thing around, which, by the way, we've had this conversation many times in November and December about the team and about Turgeon, and then you get to late January or February, and you're like, wow, how'd that happen? And that might happen again this year. I just don't know with whom it's going to happen. Last year they had, you know, Wiggins and Morsell on the team. The year before that was his most talented team. You know, they had real high-level players. I don't know where it's going to come from offensively. And defensively, which has been his signature of his teams, especially when they really get it going and they turn it around, and even though you hate the scores of 65-62 and you don't like the style, and I understand that, you know, for all of us that remember, you know, Gary, you know, trying to get to 85 or 90 every night, certainly 80 every night, this is a grinded out coach, you know, possession by possession coach. You know, Maryland has consistently been near the bottom in average possessions per game. It's his preferred style. It's also, to be fair, the preferred style of most of the teams in the Big Ten. Not all of them, not Michigan State, not Purdue this year. But not Nebraska. There are a couple of other teams that have enjoyed getting out and running. I just don't know where it's going to come from offensively. And defensively, Wahab can be a liability, and Ayala can be a liability defensively. This will be one of those where if he figures it out and all of a sudden they end up with a good Big Ten season and they're in the NCAA tournament come March, this will be the first time that this is the most concerned in a few years that I've been. I've seen what he has seen in the last few years when he said, no, we're getting there. And I've seen it. And I'm like, no, they've got some players. They're not making shots. He's going to figure this thing out. And he has. This one, after watching them now for, what is it, 8 games, they're 5-3. I think the talent is, the cupboard's a little bit bare right now. I know some people would say, well, what about Daryl Morsell? I'd love to have Daryl Morsell on this team. I'd love to have the heart and soul on this team. And there would be a big difference defensively. Big difference defensively. And I know he's playing much better offensively this year at Marquette. I know that. This is going to be a hard one for Mark to figure out, I think. Hopefully he'll remain positive. Hopefully the team will remain positive. There were high expectations coming in based on, you know, Maryland having, based on what everybody said, done really well in the transfer portal with Fats and with Wahab and with Martinez and with Xavier Green. And, you know, I'm sure I'm missing somebody else. But after 8 games of watching it, I don't see where it's coming from. It's going to have to be one of those teams that figures it out first defensively, which is the way he's always figured it out, which is all of a sudden they became a real tough defensive team. They were getting stops. They were holding teams to lower shooting percentages. And last night behind, you know, if you take they were 9 of 20 from behind the arc. That's phenomenal. They still only shot like 37, 38% from the floor. There was a stretch in the second half where Maryland got stop after stop after stop and lots of rebounds. But offensively, oof. And Virginia Tech's half-court sets to get their shooters wide-open looks from behind the arc, pretty impressive. They were a difficult team to guard down the stretch, in part because of what they were doing offensively. They get Northwestern, Maryland does, in their first Big Ten game of the year, Sunday at noon. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be a very short favorite, Brendan. Very short. I watched Northwestern the other night a little bit against Wake Forest, and they're not terrible. I think some people thought Northwestern was going to be bad this year. I don't think they are. And I think right now, Maryland's not very good. All right, that's that. Wizards next, then we'll get back to our Washington football team. I also wanted to talk a little bit, because we've not had a chance to get to it this week, just the absolute craziness of college football's coaching carousel. Brian Kelly said something yesterday that I don't think anybody would have ever thought a Notre Dame football coach would ever say. We'll get to that as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.